There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's take a look at some of those stories that might have passed you by.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
Our first story today is a tenuous link to entertainment. You've heard of Alexa, right?
Yeah, she's the one that talks to you on Google.
I thought that you would be up for this and you would have an Alexa by now. You like your gadgets?
I do like my gadgets, but it's like a talking encyclopedia, am I right?
Kind of. She does things as well. Oh. So you ask Alexa to play your music, for instance, and she would put on music that you ask her to play. You could say Rolling Stones and she'd put the Rolling Stones
album
on.
That's handy.
You can ask her what the weather's going to be next week when you land in Barcelona. She'll tell you.
Right.
Not everybody gets it, like this 93-year-old great-grandma in the United States.
Wait a minute. We'll get it with you.
Okay, what is the temperature in McLean, Virginia?
You got to make the little color go around. Got to say her name right.
Alyssa? Alicia?
From my device, too. Because they're synced. Right.
What's her name?
So Alexa.
You got to check the settings. Alexa. To make sure that
Alyssa?
The right behavior is what you're expecting. Okay, and it's always
Alyssa?
Changing, so whenever I
interact, right, you're going to hear the Alexa.
Alexa?
Yeah!
She got it in the end. She got it in the end.
Amazing.
Alicia, Elisha.
But once she gets going, ironically, here she is answering the question, who is Edward Snowden?
Edward Joseph Ed Snowden, the American computer professional, former CIA employee, and government contractor who leaked classified information from the U.S. National Security Agency in 2013.
Edward Snowden, remember him?
I do remember him, yeah.
The man who warned us that if you've got a phone with a mic, it can be switched on at any time. Your conversations can be listened to. Here he is on Vice, talking about our smartphones.
So NSA, CIA, FBI, can they get into my phone?
Yes.
Can they get into my laptop?
Absolutely.
iPad?
Anything. As long as they can dedicate people, money, and time to the target, they can get in.
And what kind of information can they get from my phone, for example?
Everything in your contacts list, every SMS message that you use, every place that's ever been, where the phone is physically located. Even if you've got GPS disabled because they can see which wireless access points are near you. Every part of a private life today is found on someone's phone. We used to say a man's home is his castle. Today, a man's phone is his castle.
My question to you is why don't more people care? Because we've gone from Cold War, pre-9/11, to effectively a police state that's watching your every move. And everyone went, why?
Part of it is the fact that it happened invisibly.
Mm-hmm.
If a politician had said, we want to watch everybody in the country, people would have been up in arms about it.
Did you know there's a case happening right now in Arkansas, Mark, in the USA?
Okay.
Trying to decide if one of these systems that listens in the background can be used in evidence because it was listening when they say a murder happened.
One of the detectives in the case found an Amazon Echo, and that was among the items that we obtained a search warrant for.
So why did you think there might be, you know, important evidence in Amazon servers?
We have a device that could have been activated and could have recorded something that night. It could have recorded portions of the crime itself. We don't know that. The mere fact that this is a device, as I understand, that is always listening and sometimes recording, depending on if it has been given the proper voice command by someone, it's certainly relevant to know what's on there.
It's not totally clear what the Echo does record and when. Amazon's programmed Alexa to respond to a question on the topic.
I only send audio back to Amazon when I hear you say the wake word.
In an email, the company said that the Echo is sending audio to its servers only when the blue light is on, and that users can check and delete any recordings it makes. One research firm estimates that Amazon has sold about 5 million Echoes, and Alexa was the hit of this year's Consumer Electronics Show. It was baked into speakers, robots, and a fridge, among other things. Weber thinks there's a bigger principle at stake here.
It's always on. It's not always recording, it's always on. But those inadvertent recordings, I think, could be misconstrued and taken out of context. You're in your home. What you say in your home is different than what you put out on the internet.
So Weber is the defendant's attorney.
You go out and buy this and stick it in your house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's listening. Now, with all that in mind, that is not why these listening devices are popping up, which are popping up in homes all over the world. That's not why they're in the news today. The privacy issue is not making everyday headlines, believe it or not. What is?
What is?
Alexa is about to get a male voice. That's the headline today.
Seriously?
Yeah. And if it's developer conference in Google, they unveiled 6 new male voices, also more female voices for the assistant, including the voices of Mr. John Legend.
All of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I'll give my all to
you. Well, it's not a bad voice to have on Alexa, is it?
No, not at all. Mr. John Legend, awesome. Yeah. Someone must have said at the weekly meeting, though, do you think it should just be female voices taking orders?
Oh, there's a whole new argument there, isn't there? Amazon has said before that it chose a female voice based on consumer feedback in trials. Academic studies indicate that people of either gender prefer female voices.
You know what that boils down to?
What?
I should earn more money than you because people instinctively prefer my voice.
Really? Can we have a straw poll on that, please, listeners? Do you prefer Steph's voice to my voice on the radio every day?
We did that whole story just so I could get a pay rise.
I know.
We've got more stories, though, coming up in a second, including a dad who used to be in the army but found volunteering on a school trip with his daughter's class just as stressful as being out on army operations. We know that because he tweeted the entire experience and it is hilarious. Do you think the back of medicine packets are right when they say, keep away from children?
I think they are.
You are tuned into Dubai I-103.8 with Steph and Mark. With you through at 4 o'clock today with travel, entertainment and what's on for the penultimate show together.
I know, isn't it? How long has it been, Steph?
It's been 3 years.
3 years.
1 month and 22 days.
Really? You know that exactly?
You knew that, right?
I didn't know the days.
Oh.
I knew it was around about 3 years. I'm not great on dates, but I remember sitting down with you and planning this show and,
yeah,
you know, oh, what we're going to call it and what we're going to do with it and the different segments that we were going to do. And then we set off and we launched it. We went travelling, didn't we, on a cruise.
Oh, we did. Was that 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Ooh. Seems like a lot closer than that.
Yeah, so yeah, we're going to be going in separate directions, which is kind of sad, but very exciting for both of us, because you're going to be travelling a lot.
I'm going to have to unblock you on Facebook if I want to keep in touch, which is weird.
Oh, that's going to be awful for you, isn't it?
I am. I'm going to live in a van, believe it or not.
Well, everybody wants to live in a van, but it's not just any old van. You're really doing this van up so that it's got all the mod cons in there, aren't you?
Swish. I'm not going to be a vagabond or a vanabond. I'm hopefully just going to be me in a nice van. I'm going to put a shower and a toilet in, for instance.
So we're not talking a transit van here. It's a bit more.
No, do you know what? I don't know. Transit would be bigger, I think.
Okay, so it's not a big van.
It's a VW van, not the small ones, but a bit bigger than that. Yeah. And it's got a fire in, which is quite nice. So if it gets cold,
I'd be careful about that, Steph.
Yeah, I'm going to look into it. Mm. I'll have a fire extinguisher next to it.
Yeah, a fire in a van.
But I'm going to drive around Europe. And then sleep in it at night time.
What has made you want to do this stuff?
There's a movement that I follow on Instagram. Blame Instagram.
A movement?
It's van life. It's a whole community. For instance, in Berlin, there's an abandoned airport.
Yeah.
A big airport strip. And all of the people who are doing the van life thing, they turn up there and they'll all like maybe cook something or make something and sell it within the community and get to know each other and hang out.
So it's like travellers, the community of travellers.
No, it's different. There's a lot of young people doing it. There's a lot of people who are choosing to do it and work remotely. So if you don't have to do your job from one set spot, you could go and do it online. Because there's a lot of people who can work online now.
Exactly, yeah.
They're doing it, and they're doing it as a way of travelling, but not spending a heck of a lot of money because you're not spending on hotel rooms. You're normally doing your own cooking. So our vans cost us maybe, how much was it? £4,500. And it's a home to live in. So all you got to pay for is your petrol, your food. That's it.
Has it got a shower in it?
It's going to have a shower in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, otherwise you'll have to be showering in communal places.
Or the sea.
So you'll have your own shower.
I hope so. We're still arguing about that.
And where do you think your first port of call will be? I mean, it's so exciting, isn't it?
Amsterdam.
Really? That's where you're going to be setting off from?
Yeah. Because we can catch a ferry over to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that, and then we're just going to go around wherever looks nice. Like, no real plan.
So there's no real plan?
Nah.
So you'll think, oh, I've heard a lot of good things about this place. Well, why don't we drive there and check it out?
Yeah. But we've only got 6 months to do that. So then after that, we're going to move to Scotland, where we bought a place like 4 years ago now.
Yeah.
A little tiny castle. And we're going to do it as a luxury bed and breakfast. So if anyone listening would like to come and stay, please do.
Yeah.
It'd be very nice to see you.
Well, boy, are we going to miss you, Steph. I mean, you've been a voice on the airwaves here for, what, 11 years, maybe longer?
12.
12 years.
12 years, yeah.
Right.
Don't worry, I'll still call in.
Okay.
All right, Mark Lloyd.
Yeah. Have you done your jobs? Have you done your jobs for
done
the day?
Done all your jobs?
Yeah, can you go and get some Vox Pops?
Oh, don't worry. I'll still be boss if you want me to be.
All right, no problem.
Should we take a look at some more stories?
Let's do it.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
On to food now. Cancer Research UK have done a study based on advertising.
Yeah, they surveyed 3,348 people aged between 11 to 19. And the average member of the study saw that 6 adverts a week for products high in sugar, salt or fat. Those who remembered seeing one extra advert ate 350 more calories a week, the equivalent of 2 packets of crisps.
The biggest shock for me is that 2 bags of crisps are 350 calories.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. I could easily do 6 bags of crisps in a night.
I bet you could. We'll be hearing more about this study in the European Congress on Obesity in Vienna, in where its findings are to be presented. It's relevant because 300 extra calories a day can lead to obesity, and that means adverts could be a significant factor in the big health issue.
The primary message of this study is that young people are under pressure to make unhealthy dietary choices. Food for thought this afternoon.
Definitely is food for thought. Now, next in the news, we've got some music for you that sounds like this. Yeah, there wasn't much satisfaction amongst some Rolling Stone fans the other night.
No, they were turned away. Others were forced to miss the beginning of a Rolling Stones gig last night. They were hit by a ban on bags larger than an A5-sized piece of paper. A5's the one just under A4, isn't it?
Okay, yeah.
Not bigger, because so A3's bigger. They get smaller as they get higher in
numbers.
That's
like a small clutch bag, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you a bag man when you go to
a
concert?
When I go to a gig, not really, no. When I go to a gig, but I mean, if I was taking a bag, it would be a shoulder bag, and it would be a lot bigger than an A5 for sure.
Yeah, I'm a bag lady. When I like to go to a gig these days, I need a blanket in there in case there's room to put it out and sit down.
Yeah.
Beforehand.
Or keep warm.
Yep. Need to take extra toilet paper.
Yeah.
In case the toilet's on.
Okay.
Put it in.
Lip balm.
Lip balm always in there. But that can be pocketed. The big complaint was not leaving your bags at home. The complaint was not being given enough warning in advance on this ban about the bags. So people were turning up. Yeah. They had no idea. Now, this happened at the London Stadium in Queen Elizabeth Park, Stratford, back in the UK. You could store your bag, but it meant massive queues and 25 dirhams charged to put your bag in storage.
Oh, what a downer. Can you imagine the queues for that? People have paid around 500 dirhams for a ticket for this gig and missed a big chunk of the concert standing in the bag store queue. Should the band have gone on late while
they all
put the bags in?
I think so, especially when you hear that a spokesman for the stadium had said it was a tour-wide policy, nothing to do with the venue. He added that it was on the tickets, the warning, that you couldn't bring a bag bigger than that size, and that it had been emailed out twice. I don't know about you, but if I get an email about a gig, I'm always like, nah. I never read it. I'm just like, yeah, I've got my ticket for that.
Yeah.
Delete.
It's the first I've heard of this, that you can't take a bag in. But AEG, the promoters, said in a statement, security conditions apply with regards to the size of bags that fans can now bring to concerts. 70,000 people attended the concert tonight with approximately 750 fans using the left luggage facility. Whilst any delay on entry is unwanted, we hope fans understand that the safety of everyone is of the utmost importance.
Of course we care about safety. Check the bags, guys. Rather than charging people to store them, open them up, check nothing's in them, use your little wand, let people in with their bags.
But then would you have to have the scanner like you're going through an airport? I mean, that would cause delays as well, wouldn't it?
I think that would be way quicker. I think you should be doing that at every gig from now on.
Yeah?
Definitely. They do it here, don't they? They always check your bag.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Right, so just got to quickly get to this story because it's brilliant. Mark, you've got kids. Have you ever been on a school trip?
What, with my kids as a dad?
Yeah, like as a support.
Nah, no.
You didn't do it?
No, I've dropped them off at camp and stuff like that when they were going out to camp and, you know, waved them goodbye. But I've never actually been on it, no.
Did your parents ever go on a school trip with you?
Not that I remember. No, the school trips I went on my own. Again, they would come and wave me off and make sure I was okay. But that'd be it.
I do remember parents going on school trips, though. Other people's parents. Mine never did this.
Mine didn't either.
There was the odd parent who would come. Well, a dad yesterday has had us all laughing as he tweeted his experience of being dragged along. He'd volunteered to accompany a coachload of 10-year-olds to a science museum. Now, the day starts off, innocently enough, with a series of tweets. 8:40 a.m. I've signed a risk assessment and promised not to take any photos, he wrote. 8:47 a.m. The children are all being sent to the toilet before we get on the coach. Apparently, none of them need to go. I have 6 children in my group. One of the boys has just called me Bruv. I've been seated next to Bruv. He's just announced he's prone to travel sickness. The first signs of carnage ahead, they came quickly. 1 mile in. Most of the lunches have gone, and approximately 30% of the people on the coach need the toilet. And then the chatter. I've been asked if any of the men that went to the moon with Armstrong and Aldrin still live there. I wish I lived there. I'm not surprised Bruv is feeling a bit peaky. I've just watched him practically inhale 2,000 calories in 90 seconds. A girl starts crying because she wants her mum. My own daughter just made eye contact with me. It was sinister. Almost sure she just mouthed, "You absolute mug," at me. The chatter continues. I'm fast learning that 10-year-olds get all of their information from YouTube and that quite a lot of it is rubbish. That is scary, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Now, the children engage Mr. Smith in conversation. A relentless cacophony of, "Are we there yet?" "No, we aren't." Another child is sick and Mr. Smith is not having a good day. "Go on a fun school trip," they said. "Volunteer," they said. "It'll be fun," they said. And another child is sick.
Finally, they get to the science museum and the fun begins. It's absolute carnage inside here, trying not to lose any. "I'm never doing this again," he concluded. "I'm shoving my own kid on eBay as soon as we get home." But it's the comments underneath this story that I think are totally priceless.
Yeah, John Noel Hughes Wilson said, "As a baffled tour guide, I steadfastly refused to take school tours. The teachers were the worst. Absolutely no control."
And then Roche said, Roche Bentley, "There's some very good advice printed on some medicine packets. Keep away from children. I recall a school trip to a zoo resulting in a crisis on arrival back at school. A teacher had heard commotion at the back of the coach and went to investigate, only to find that one of the children had kidnapped a penguin and brought it home."
Unbelievable. And also, forever sideways. "When I was 11 in 66, we went on a school trip to Interlaken in Switzerland. It included a coach trip to the boat from Cheshire to cross the channel and a railway journey to Interlaken. There must have been 30 of us and we managed with only 3 teachers for the whole week, including the return. As I recall, no one was sick, although my friend did lose the end of his finger in the door of a funicular railway. But once patched up, it didn't spoil anyone's holiday. I even brought my mum a cuckoo clock back."
Incredible.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.